Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolute pleasure to get you on the program, Jim. Looking at this current state of superannuation, what factors have gotten us into this this so-called state of crisis?
Super is a creature of policy, and policy isn't delivering the goods. That's the bottom line. This is absolutely in the policymakers' court to ensure that a system that we're all obliged to put 9.5% of our pre-tax income into is delivering. And currently, it's not.
You know, there are some big numbers being thrown around. I know sort of the 2.6 that we mentioned there, that was in fees that are in various accounts. I understand it was something like $3.9 billion just from underperforming super funds that were not performing quite as well as they should be. These are big numbers to throw around, and you sort of took look at the situation across all Australians. Statistically, how much is this actually costing us more as individuals?
Yeah, that's right. I think the best way to think about it is if your fund underperforms by just one percentage point a year, you're going to be out of pocket by more than 20% by the time that you retire, and your retirement income could be down as much as 25 or 30%, depending on how long you live. And that sort of differential in performance is what you see between good and bad performing funds in this country. A lot of that is driven by fees, and some of it's driven by poor investment strategy.
As I said,
so it's really material. It's the differences we say between steak and spaghetti in retirement.
As I said, I'm kind of guilty of the sin of not consolidating super funds together to make sure you're sort of enjoying the full benefits, as it were. But just how big of an issue is this, to our economy?
Yeah, that's right. So one way to think about it is that superannuation now costs more than 1% of GDP. So, you know, the fees paid to that industry are more than $1 in 100 earned in the country. And the whole system could be run for much, much less. You're paying on average, let's call it 1.1% a year in fees, and it should be down at around just over half of that is where we think the top performing funds are today. So there's a big gap there. It's a drag on the economy. It's an incredibly important part of our policy settings to ensure that we are providing for retirement, and government needs to do more to squeeze costs out of the system.
As a creature of policy, what kind of policies actually need to be changed to ship up the current system we have?
Yeah, so the PC has set out first some reforms to ensure that those duplicate accounts are no longer getting formed when people join the labour market and switch jobs. And that's good, but that's a relatively small part of the puzzle. It matters a lot for people who do switch jobs a lot, and it matters a lot for people who are just starting out in their careers. But the really big dollars are in the installed base of the super system. And while what the PC recommends, for example, in the so-called default part of the market, which is where most people are, where you haven't made a choice but you've just gone with what's been recommended by your employer, a lot of people are out of the money there. And what the PC is recommending is that when you do switch jobs, you will be given a shortlist of the better performing products, and you'll be able to either pick one of those or be placed into it. But the one real weakness of what the PC is recommending is that installed base is going to persist for a long time if people don't get active. Because if you don't switch jobs, there's nothing that's really going to prompt you to move or to ensure that you're on a good deal beyond what's already in policy. And so more does need to be done there. And if you're in the middle of your career somewhere, then it's really a smart idea to get active and to take control, because it can make a big difference. You shouldn't wait for policymakers to do all the work for you.
Well, that's certainly what kind of sticks out to me, I must say. I mean, the Commission recommending this short list of, I think they've got a short list of the 10 products for new entrants into the superannuation game, and they've got these short lists which basically say these are the best products currently on the market you could be putting your super into, but it still kind of requires that active role you mentioned there from super contributors.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I think, you know, the lesson over time is policymakers absolutely have got an obligation to do better, and what the PC is recommending will make a big, big difference. But you, as an individual, none of us should just wait around for them to do it. Instead, you should get onto the ASIC Money Smart website and find, through one of the comparison sites they recommend, find a better performing fund, and I can give you some ideas about how to do that if you're interested, and consolidate all of your accounts to that better performing fund.
Is there a sort of a top three you would recommend?
Yeah. Look, I won't mention names, but I would say if you were in a big hurry, a big non-profit super fund, my super product is a good place to start.
Excellent.
And that's not, you know, in principle, a for-profit could be good, but just as an empirical fact, they have tended not to perform as well. So that would be my very high-level recommendation. And then you can do more detailed, you know, research on the returns and fees and diversification if you want, using those sites.
Fantastic, Jim. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your insight in this one this morning.
Great to talk. Thank you.